Are listening to the very best of community radio, and presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
gotta work. You gotta work. Work while the day, 'cause the night is coming, and you can't find your way. Oh, sinner, I wonder, what will you do? You better choose this day. Tomorrow I promise to you, I wanna know. I wanna know. And they're feeling down. You know what I want you to do to them? I want you to look them in the eye, tell them something like this, and say, check me out now. Get up. If you're on the Lord's side, come on, what? Hit me. Oh, get on up.
If you're on the
bless the Lord. I want to call your attention this morning to the book of Psalms, the 27th number, the book of Psalms, and we're going to look at the 13th and the 14th verses, Psalm 27. Verses 13 and 14. And for those of you who kind of keep track of what Pastor preaches, you will perhaps note that we preached from this same passage around January of this year. Amen. Talking about waiting on the Lord, and we're going to talk about waiting on the Lord again today, but this is a whole different sermon. Amen. And we told you last week that as God leads you into your destiny, that he loves you, number one, and that he wants to bless you. But I need to let somebody know today that just because your blessing has not yet arrived does not mean that he's not going to bless you. Amen. You've got to wait on him. We told you that it's all found in that word give, that God wants to give you grace. He wants to give you independence from lack. He wants to give you victory. And ultimately, he will give you eternal life. Amen. We don't mind waiting on eternal life, but a lot of us don't want, amen, to have to wait on independence from lack, but sometimes you have to wait. And the psalmist David is well equipped to teach us how to wait on the Lord. And he says here in these two verses of Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14, David says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. And then he reiterates, he says, wait, I say, on the Lord. Thank you, ushers. Waiting on the Lord. Amen. I was eating dinner with some friends at one of my favorite restaurants, and I ordered a steak, and I'm very particular about the way I like my steak cooked. Amen. I like them to put a little seasoning on it, just a little. And I like it bloody to the bone. They know me well enough to know that I'll send it back if it's not right. Amen. And so I ordered my steak, and everybody else at the table, their food had come to the table, but I was still waiting on mine. There was a lengthy delay, so I asked the waitress what was taking my food so long. And the waitress said, your order is a special order, and special orders take time. Y'all, I thought about what the waitress said when I read this text, because there are some things that I have asked the Lord for, and they have not yet materialized. Some things that I have been talking to the Lord about a mighty long time, and yet they have not come to fruition. Is there anyone else in the room who has asked the Lord for something and as of yet it hasn't come to pass? Come on, who can say I've seen others receive their orders, but mine is delayed? But I'm so happy to report to you this morning that delay does not equal denial. Come on, I've seen others' prayers answered. I have seen others experience breakthrough. Am I by myself? I have seen others experience grace, independence from lack, and victory. I have asked God to do some things, and he hasn't done it yet. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, well, maybe it's a special order. Tell your neighbor, special orders take a little more time. I have seen others get the house. I have seen others get the car. I have seen others get the promotion. I have seen others get the job. I have seen others get the breakthrough. I have seen others get the healing. Is there anybody here today who will testify with me that just maybe my prayer is a special order? I'm talking about that you cannot get off the showroom floor. I'm talking about that you cannot get off the rack. You cannot get it out of the inventory. You just have to wait on it. Maybe this morning what you have asked the Lord for, that you've cried about, that you've been pacing the floor about, well, maybe the reason you're having to wait is because it's a special order, and special orders take time. So I've come by this morning to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, to stop giving God ultimatums. Ultimatums as to when he has to act. Ultimatums as to how he has to move. Because you have to recognize that some blessings God has to get ready for you. But then there are some blessings that God has to get you ready for. Do I have a witness today? And I don't know about you, but I'm willing to wait on God, amen, because I understand that God is not operating by our watches. He's not operating by our schedules, our day planners. He's an on-time God. Oh my, come on, how many of you will testify with me that he may not come when you want him, but he will be there on time? And so I've just come by today to encourage somebody, my brother or my sister, that spouse that you're praying for, in his time, he'll do it. That car that you're praying for, in his time, amen, he may do it. That job that you're longing for, in his time, he may do it. Look like he's doing nothing. It may look like he's gone on strike. It may look like he's giving you a cold shoulder. It may look like he's paying you no attention at all. But I've come by to remind you today that just when it seems like God is not working, when it seems like he's not moving, when it seems like he's not doing anything, tell your neighbor he's up to something. I told y'all the story before how we were visiting my brother and his family in Houston, and at that time he had two small sons, and they were some bad rascals. They were always getting into something, and I never will forget one evening, all of the adults, we were in the living room downstairs. The children were upstairs, and some of our other nieces and nephews had come along, and we were all sitting there, the adults downstairs in the living room, when my sister-in-law said, "It's mighty quiet up there." And my brother said, "Well, that's a good thing, ain't it?" And she said, "Maybe not, amen, because when they get too quiet, it means they're up to something." And I've come by to tell somebody today that when it seems like heaven is quiet, when it seems like God is not hearing or answering your prayer, when it seems like God is not moving the way you want him to move, I've come by to remind you that he might just be up to something. I've come by to remind you that special orders take time. Well, the question that comes to my mind, and I'm sure the question that is burning on the table of your hearts, is what do you do, Pastor, when you have no choice but to wait on God? I'm glad that you asked, because the first thing you have to do is be patient. Tell your neighbor, you've got to be patient. You all know that we live in a society where we don't want it tomorrow. We don't want it next week. We want it what? Right now. And even I have to admit that sometimes it's hard to wait. But I've come by to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, to wait anyhow. Because when you need an extraordinary blessing, you've got to wait. When you need a supernatural blessing, you've got to wait. When you don't want a run-of-the-mill blessing, you better learn how to wait. Because special orders take time. Now, I need to tell you here that in the midst of your waiting, don't be fooled into believing that waiting means doing nothing. Don't buy into the notion that waiting means inactivity. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying while you're waiting on the job, keep on filling out applications. I'm saying while you're waiting on your healing, keep on taking your medicine. Oh, y'all don't want to help me. While you're waiting on the bill to be paid, amen, keep on putting a plan in action on how you're going to get it done. All God wants is an unwavering faith in the midst of pain, heartache, trouble, and tragedy, because if you will wait on the Lord, I'm here to tell you that he will come through. And do you know what God will do? Every now and then, God will test the character of your faith. He will place you in a situation where you just have to wait, because God wants to know if you have the faith in him to believe that his delay does not mean denial, but that if you will wait on him, he may not come when you want him to come. But I believe I've got two or three witnesses in the place who will testify with me that he will show up on time. He'll show up on time, I tell you. I love the book of Psalms because
In a very real sense, we find David, the man after God's own heart. We find in the book of Psalms, we see David experiencing life in much the same way that we have to experience life. When you study the book of Psalms, and I think I've said it enough that you ought to remember that this is a song book. Amen. There are five divisions to the book of Psalms. There are 150 songs in the book of Psalms. And most of them are written by David. I love it. I love it because you get to see a real transparent David. You get to see a man of God who goes through the highs and lows of life. Amen. You get to see a man of God who has to deal with heartache and frustration. He had to deal with enemies and haters just like we do today. During the high moments in his life, he wrote stuff like, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In the high times, he wrote stuff like Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. "I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." But then in the low times, David would write stuff like Psalms 22 and 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And you Bible readers will remember those same words over in Matthew chapter 27 and 46 as our Lord and our Savior hung dying on a rugged cross. He said those same words. I've discovered through my study of this text that there are some things going on in David's life. Tell your neighbor, some stuff was going on in his life. Amen. In verses 2 and 3, we discovered that he's being pursued by his enemies. In verse 10, he's having parental problems. In verse 12, he becomes the subject of a scandal. David's played his fool. But is there anybody here that will testify with me that David's plate is not the only one that's full? Come on, is there anybody else in this room that will testify, "Pastor, I have a full plate also"? And so David tells us that in order to wait on the Lord, you've got to be patient. But then secondly, he tells us that as we wait on the Lord, and if you need something to help you remain patient during your waiting, David says, "Remember how God has helped you in the past." Is there anybody here who can celebrate the fact that God has done some things in your past? Oh, I know I ought to have a witness. Did he keep a roof over your head? Did he keep a little money in your pocket? Did he regulate your mind and keep you from going postal on somebody? He gave you the activity of your limbs, amen. He didn't allow them to repossess your car. He allowed your child to get off drugs. You got your degree even though you had five kids. Is there anybody here who can testify that he's done some things in my past? Oh, I dare you to just get one thing on your mind that he has done in your past. I dare you to just concentrate, just focus on one thing that your enemy said you'd never make it through. Just focus on one thing that the devil thought would destroy you. Just focus on one thing that you thought would count you out of the race. But is there anybody here who can look back over your life and say, after all that I've been through, I still have, after all that I've been through, I'm still here. After all that I've been through, I still got a hallelujah, still got a thank you, Jesus. Come on and give him praise.
You're going to wait on God. You better be patient. But not only that, if you're going to wait on God, I dare you, I double dare you to remember your past. See, that devil is sneaky. He's funny. Amen. He has a way of giving you spiritual amnesia. Amen. A little sickness comes up in your body, and that devil is so clever. Amen. He'll have you forgetting how God healed you last time, how he made a way last time, how he opened doors last time. Amen. How you thought, amen, when that Negro walked out on you, you would have to give up on life. But is there anybody that can say, I'm still here? But not only am I still here, somebody can say like Marvin Sapp, I'm better now. I'm stronger now. I'm wiser now. If God has kept you, you ought to give him praise. David said, I felt like fainting unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I had a question for David. David, what kept you going? What kept you going? David, what kept you trusting in God? I hear David saying, I knew one thing, that his mercy endures forever. And I've come by to challenge you, my brothers and sisters, to thank God for his mercy. You see, a lot of times we think that God only blesses the folk who've dotted all of their I's and crossed all of their T's. But do you know that if those were the only people that God was blessing, there wouldn't be any blessed folk in the room today? And I believe that there are one or two folk here who would have to testify like Pastor Garner that God has blessed me in spite of me. Oh, y'all, can I be real with you today? If it were left up to justice, if it were left up to how good I acted, how well I spoke all the time, how pure my thoughts were all of the time, I wouldn't be blessed. But David says his mercy endures forever. And I don't know about you, but I don't mind waiting on a God like that. I don't mind waiting on a God who looks beyond my faults and sees my needs. I don't mind waiting on a God that I know loves me. And can I tell you, he loves me better than I love myself. Do I have a witness today? So my brothers and sisters, you may not have it all right now. You may not be able to put your hand on the blessing right now. But I've come by to challenge you to praise God even while you wait on him. You've got to be patient. You've got to remember your past. But in the midst of your waiting, I dare you to give him praise. And so I don't know how you feel about it, but I made up in my mind that I'm gonna wait on God. And can I tell you why I'm gonna wait? I'm gonna wait because he's my light and he's my salvation. I'm gonna wait because he's the strength of my life.